religion is very important to become a true and real human being. And it's not just one path. It just depends on what is right for you according to the causes and conditions in your life.
Today on In Good Faith, we're at the Japanese Buddhist Temple in downtown Salt Lake City, and so grateful to be speaking with Reverend Jerry Hirano from here at the temple. Thank you so much. We're asking today about a particular Japanese festival, Obon.
Yeah.
I understand it has something to do with ancestors. Would you tell us about it?
Sure. Obon actually comes from the word Ulumbana, and Ulumbana is the name of a Buddhist sutra. Those are the words of the Buddha or stories of the Buddha over time. And this Ulumbana Sutra told about one of the Buddha's great disciples, Mokuren. And his particular trait was the ability to see beyond this realm of existence. And so when his mother died, who he's very close to, he wondered what happened to her. And he went into a meditative trance and found that she had been reborn in the realm of hungry ghosts called Gaki. And these Gaki are beings that are said to have large bodies with little tiny mouths and very thin necks. So they're constantly craving for more. Hmm. Right? And he thought, how could my beautiful, loving mother be reborn into that realm, become such a monster? And he went to the Buddha and asked, what can I do for my mother? And the Buddha said, you know, your mother went to that realm because she would do anything for you, whether it was good or bad or anything that would provide you with what you needed, she would do. More, more, more she wanted for her son. And so that's why she ended in that realm. So he said, the way you could help release her from that realm is through dana, through selfless giving. So it said that Mokuren fed the monks, which is something that develops merit. And through that act of kindness, afterwards he sought his mother again and found that she had been released. And he felt great joy and he danced up and clapped. And that's where the tradition of Obon dancing comes from, which we do like here when we had it a few weeks ago. I think we had over 500 dancers.
Wow.
But it's becoming more and more popular. So my previous temple in San Jose, someone told me they get close to 2,000 dancers. So it's a very popular tradition.
It sounds very joyful.
Yeah. That's why in our sect of Buddhism, we actually don't, we say Obon, but the proper name is Kangye, which means gathering of joy.
Very nice.
The main thing is people come home for Obon. So part of the so-called legend or myth of Obon is the spirits of our ancestors come back to be with us during this time of year, right? And so our children come back to Salt Lake from California for Obon. And in Japan, it's a time you really don't want to travel if you don't have to, because all the trains and buses are just filled with people from the big cities going back to their hometowns.
And how is the connection made or the celebration of the ancestors made? Are there pictures or do you tell stories?
We usually have these little lanterns that have the names of our family members who have died on them. In the center where we dance is a thing called a yagura, and it has these beams that come out, and we hang them from that yagura. Like I tell people, to me it reminds me a lot of the Mexican Catholic tradition of Dios de los Muertos, and the show Coco, I think is a fantastic depiction of how the living and the dead come together. I always use this quote by Thornton Wilder that says, there is a land of the living, there is a land of the dead, the bridge between the two is love. And that movie Coco to me expresses that so well.
Yes.
And I think that's what is really at the heart of Obon.
What are your first memories of this festival?
My family has been the dance instructors for as long as I remember. In fact, my aunt who passed away, Maxine Furubashi, she had did it as long as I remember. Now the dance instructor is her daughter, my cousin, and then her daughter also are the main teachers. But my strongest memory when I was a kid was getting in trouble for messing around instead of dancing it the way she was telling us to dance it. One of the dances that we dance is called Ichitasu Ichi, which means 1+1 dance. And now that's the dance everyone kind of goes crazy and does way more than me and my friends ever did. And even the dance instructors join us in with that dance. So that's probably one of my oldest memories, is getting in trouble for not following the rules.
Tell me about the music that's part of the dancing.
It's just your traditional Japanese folk music, minyo. And interesting is there's a group that is trying to collect a lot of those folk songs about the obons from the Japanese American communities in the U.S. I think there's a Fresno Ondo, there's all Stockton Ondo, but there's a musicologist, I think he's at Oregon, named Win Yamami, who's trying to collect these old songs. You know, people have those old records, those thick kind of records, and he's trying to get them and reproduce them.
Oh, that would be nice to preserve.
Yeah.
What about, are taiko drums involved?
Taiko is a type of drum. It's a wooden drum. Traditionally, it's carved out of a trunk of a tree, and it has skins on both sides. And they were used for war or in court music. But when they started doing it in the West, there's two theories on how it became so big in the U.S. One is one of the first masters here was, I think it's Seiji Tanaka from the San Francisco Taiko Dojo in San Francisco. And he was doing taiko. But then every Jodo Shinshu Temple used to have a taiko drum in it for the religious services.
Mm-hmm.
And a group, a little older than me, in L.A. started playing it. And then they started making songs with it. And since there's a lot of Buddhist temples, they went around to the temples and all these various taiko groups starting popping up all over. The one at my temple in Ogden started in 75 or 76. We started one here, this temple, five, 10 years ago.
As you described them, a trunk of a tree. Some of them are huge drums, so it's very exciting to hear them played.
Right, and it's supposed to represent the voice of the Buddha. That commanding sound. That's why it was used in some of the Buddhist services.
So I'm quite impressed that at this ceremony where you're looking towards the ancestors, inviting the ancestors, that you mentioned there were 500 people here or so. To me, there must be some satisfaction for you to see younger generations understanding this and taking part, so you know it's going to be preserved.
Yeah, I'm really happy about that because it's a tradition that has brought me joy as just being Buddhist, you know, and the temples might fall sometime, but at least I hope some of the things, especially things that are joyful like that, continue on.
What do you tell the young people when you're explaining this to them?
The main thing I emphasize is you won't know where you will go into the future without understanding the past. And so it's very important to recognize that, where you come from. And that's what I think Obon does by talking about the ancestors.
I also think you must be proud that here you are, a tiny minority in a large Christian majority area, metropolitan area, that there is such strength and such a sense of community.
Yeah, right now it's kind of controversial about what's happening in this area. Because when I was a kid, this was Japantown.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no Salt Palace all the way up to probably close to West Temple. And this way to maybe South Temple was Japanese apartments, stores, hotels, you know, barber shops, gas stations.
Was this after World War II?
Yeah.
Wow.
But then in the 60s, when they were going to build the Salt Palace, they just came in with eminent domain and bought out everything. The only thing left is us and the Japanese Church of Christ across the street.
Yeah. I love that this little section of the street is still called Japantown Street.
Right. It was really pushed by Senator Janie Iwamoto, who's from here too, just like me. Her family went to the Japanese Christian Church. But she really pushed to get that Japantown Street. And even it was at my father's funeral when it was an outdoor retailers thing. And there were nothing but cranes and boxes all around here. So it was difficult to have my father's funeral. She said, this can't be done. You know, she says, something has to stop. Right. So she worked really hard to try to clean up this. If you look on the north side, there's a slight Asian feel. And they even put in a little Japanese garden by the Christian church there. So hopefully those will stay.
Well, you've been at this for a while.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, as a Buddhist and in your Jodo Shinshu tradition, what have you learned that you know now that you didn't decades ago when you were starting on the path? What has that path shown you?
That all human beings are the same. You know, and religion is very important to become a true and real human being. And it's not just one path. I think all of us have a path. It just depends on what is right for you according to the causes and conditions in your life.
Thanks again to Reverend Jerry Hirano and to Carmela Havalana, our guest from episode 217, who actually gave us a tour of the Buddhist temple. You can see video of that on our socials and YouTube channel, and check out an interview with Reverend Hirano in BYU TV's The Generations Projects, Season 3, Episode 4, where Olympic snowboarder Graham Watanabe learns about his ancestors. The Generations Project even brought to life the sutra Reverend Hirano described in our conversation.